to you about the name of Jesus this morning. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, Isaiah is given a prophecy, and he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." That's interesting. He didn't say anything about Jesus there, did he? But there's a couple things I want to point out here. He said, "For unto us a child is born," which is distinctly different from the son that's given. Okay, same person. But the child being what Virgin Mary delivered, okay, the son is what Jesus, or pardon me, what the Father gave to the world on the cross. There was a child given, or pardon me, a child born, a son given. I'll let you think about that. But when he calls him Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, these names are referring to the Messiah. Actually, they're attributes that reveal the intrinsic characteristics of the Messiah. But these are descriptive names. They're not the name. Do you follow me? Just like you have a name, but people may call you other names to describe you. For instance, in your vocation, they may call you by some other name that's just really describing you. It's not who you are. You understand? And people need to know who they are, because too many are hiding behind titles. And the titles are just a description of vocation, if you will, of things you may be doing. Who is a better counselor than the Lord Jesus Christ? The Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He started a generation of people, a spiritual generation that has no end. It's an eternal generation. And He is the Prince of Peace. These are things about Him, but His name is Jesus. The name of the Messiah is Jesus. When He came on the scene, the religious people couldn't receive Him as the Messiah because of preconceived ideas. We know Him. We know His daddy. We know His mama. We know His brothers. We know His sisters. Who does He think He is? He knew who He was. They thought they did. You know, there may have been other people named Jesus, but there's only one Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, born at called the Nazarene, actually born at Bethlehem, but called the Nazarene. In Mark chapter 16, in verses 17 and 18, Jesus, doing the speaking, says that these signs will follow those who believe. He said, In my name, you will cast out devils. You speak with new languages. You take up serpents and they won't hurt you. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. And you lay hands on the sick and they recover. So it's in the name of Jesus that devils are cast out. It's in the name of Jesus that people speak with new languages. You understand, John the Baptist gave us a revelation that a lot of people haven't caught on to yet. He said, "I'm baptizing with water. There's one coming after me mightier than I. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." And so when it talks about it's in the name of Jesus that we speak with these languages are the result of being immersed in the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So all this comes through the name of Jesus. All these things that he's talking about in Mark are accomplished in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Mighty God, not in the name of Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. It's the name of Jesus. Very important that we know that. In Acts 2:38, the people who had been participants, I'll say, at least spectators in the crucifixion of Jesus, are there on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem when the Spirit of God comes down and settles upon all those in the upper room. They're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking in these languages that are unfamiliar to the speaker. And the people there are from all these regions, and they're hearing them speaking these languages and thinking, some of them said they're drunk, and I don't know that drinking will give you another language, you understand. It may make you act stupid, but not give you a new language. And so Peter stands up and preaches on that day of Pentecost to them and says, this is what Joel the prophet said was going to come to pass in the latter days. And after preaching to them, it says their hearts were pricked, or their hearts were convicted, and they asked what they must do to be saved. And Peter says, repent, be immersed into the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. There is no remission of sin outside of Jesus. And then he went on to say, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we're told that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved except the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the only way anyone can be saved and have eternal life. Yet there's so many things out these days, and people are presenting messages and doctrines that would lead you to believe that there's another way to the Father. But I'm telling you, you will not get to the Father without going through the Son. And it's interesting how he says, be immersed not into Jesus, but into the name. You know the name means Savior, don't you? Be immersed. If you want to be saved, be immersed into the Savior. You follow me? Then in Acts 16 and 18, it's an account of Paul. Paul's in an area and he's preaching, and there's this young lady that's following him and saying, these men are men of the Most High God who come to show us the way. And Paul, after many days of her doing that, he was grieved in the spirit, and he turned to her and commanded the devil to come out of her. So everything that sounds good is not good. Everybody that's praising you may not be of God, you understand. And Paul recognized this. So here again, how was that devil cast out? Not in the name of Paul, not because of Paul's great anointing, but the devil was cast out in the name of Jesus. You with me? Important to know the importance of the name of Jesus. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, we're told that whatever we do in word or in deed, that we're to do all in the name of Jesus. And we're to give thanks to God the Father by Him, through Jesus. Because He is our life. If we're going to approach the Father, we're going to come through Him. So we give thanks to the Father and give thanks through Jesus. So anything a believer does, anything, whatever we do in word or deed, is to be done in the name of Jesus. Now, why would He say that? We're the body of Christ, aren't we? And the body and the head are one, aren't they? We're here as a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever we do here on earth, it should be bring a reflection on Jesus, but it should depict the very character of Jesus. That's why it's so important that we think before we speak. that we think before we act. Instead of reacting, get a plan of action. Get direction. Jesus always had direction before He spoke or moved into action. We're to do the same thing, understanding that we're operating in the name of Jesus. He's given us the power of attorney to use that name. With that power of attorney comes authority. But that authority must be in agreement with the Word of God. It must be in agreement with the character of the Lord, with the things that Jesus did and He wants to do through us. You with me? We have responsibility. We're carriers of the name. I don't know if you've ever really thought about that. I mean, it ought to be sobering to think that God has selected me to carry the name of Jesus wherever I go. What a privilege, but what a responsibility. And there is an accountability that goes with that also. In James chapter 5 and verse 14, where he says, "Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church." But then there is instructions to the elders of the church. It says to let them pray over that sick person, anointing that sick person with oil in the name of Jesus. And so many people think today that we can get things done because of our anointing or whatever. Well, you know, God anointed me. I can do this and I can do that. You're not to act independently of the Lord. Everything you do in the name of the Lord. You don't do in your name. You don't do it in the name of a church. You don't do it in the name of a religion. You do it in the name of Jesus. Whatever we do, whatever we pray, when we minister, we must be consciously aware that we're ministering in the name of Jesus. You follow me? It puts responsibility on us, doesn't it? Would Jesus do what I do? Would Jesus be saying what I'm saying this morning? You follow me? Would He be in agreement with all these things? So, when we anoint people with oil to get them healed, it's done in the name of Jesus. You understand that anointing oil has no power in it to do anything. It's just simply following protocol. You do it God's way, you get results. And so God has ordained order in all these various areas. And if we'll follow that protocol, then we can get the results. Jesus never violated the Father's protocol, so He always got 100% results. And I'm telling you today, there's a lot of hit and miss, and more miss than hit. Why? Because we're not putting our emphasis in the name of Jesus. Salvation, healing, deliverance, all these things are achieved in the name of Jesus. Now, you think about it, the opposition is against the name of Jesus. You can talk about Christ. People don't care if you use the word Christ. They don't care if you use the word God. They don't want you to use the name of Jesus. You can use the name of Buddha or Allah. You can use any name you want to name, and you get no opposition to those names. Why? Because there is no authority in the names. But when you say the name of Jesus, boy, it ruffles the feathers of the opposition. Why? Because they're threatened. They're threatened because they know Jesus has power over them. They know when you're operating in the name of Jesus and you know the authority in that name, that you're a threat to them. You with me? This is not something to toy with. This is not a name just to use frivolously. This is a name that is to, when it's used, is to get results. And so we need to think about this name. But too many people just pass it off. It's more than the name of a baby. There's no other name given that's superior to the name of Jesus. Paul, writing to the Philippians, said every knee will bow. Now listen to this. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. That's the subterranean world. That in all the three areas that he named, every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. Now you can do it now, or you'll do it later, but it'll be too late for salvation then. I've had people to tell me, I don't believe in God. I said, you will. I'm not bowing my knee to Jesus. You will. Now, it's to your benefit to do it now, because it'll be too late then. That you will recognize who the King of Kings is. You know, at the crucifixion, or pardon me, prior to the crucifixion, when Pilate was interrogating and Herod was interrogating Jesus, and you know, he was the crown of thorns and given the rod a mockery. All right, you're a king, here's your crown. Here's your scepter. And they bowed the knee in mockery, not even understanding that every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. And when they sing again, it will not be a crown of thorns he's wearing. It will not be a rod that he holds in his hand. God says that his scepter is a scepter of righteousness. You follow me? And those who are going to be with him eternally will be in right standing with him. And the only way that we can get in right standing with God is by becoming one with Jesus. And when you become one with Jesus, you take his name. It's not like modern day marriages where the woman just keeps her name. No, you'll take the name of Jesus, and it won't be a hyphenated name, yours and his. Our identity's lost in him. We give our identity up to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be wanting people today not to see who I am, who we are, but to see who Jesus is. Who I am is not important. Any achievements I've done, that's not important. What's important is for people to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to know what his accomplishments are. Do you think you have any achievements that's beyond his? Do you think you've surpassed him? Could we save humanity? Could we cast out devils? Could we heal the sick? Could we walk on water? Could we calm a storm? There's not a person that has a name that has the ability to do that. The only one that can do those things is Jesus. But the bottom line is this. If we're one with him, operating under his name, in his name, anything I mention is possible to the believer. Even the raising of the dead. Ask Paul. He did it. Ask Peter. He did it. How did they do it? In the name of Jesus. You know, when Peter and John, after Jesus' ascension, they're going into the temple, and there's a crippled man there begging. He was there when Jesus was on earth. But isn't it interesting that Jesus didn't heal him? Why? Timing of God. So Peter and John goes by, and he's begging, asking for money, and silver. Peter looks at him, and he says, silver and gold we don't have. But we do have something to give you. And see, so often what we say is we don't have any money to give you, but we don't realize what we have to give. We have the highest name that's ever been known or ever will be known. We have something to offer people. We have an authority to offer people.
So Peter said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. But he didn't do what Peter said. He started leaping and jumping. He was excited, you understand. Went with him in the temple. And when the people started gathering, looking, Peter said, why are you looking at us as if we've done something? It's not our name that healed this man. It's faith in the name of Jesus that's caused this man to walk. And what God is wanting out of us is for us to exercise faith in the name of Jesus. Realizing that there is no name that's superior to the name of Jesus. Every knee must bow to that name. God has vested the authority of heaven in that name and given the believers the privilege to use that name. So we as the body of Christ need to understand our name is Jesus. Forget yours. Now don't run off with some stupid idea and go around telling everybody you Jesus. No, you're one with Him through the new birth. You're one with Him through the new birth. So what you do in word or deed, you do in the name of Jesus and expect the results. We should be the most surprised people around if it didn't work. But the truth is, it does work. Always, when we exercise the authority in the proper way. Now, the seven sons of Sceva tried to do it third party. That won't work. It's not in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. It's because of your union with Jesus. If you're not united with Jesus, you don't have the authority to operate in His name. But through our union with Jesus, we have the authority to operate in His name in the new birth. And what I felt like the Lord was really wanting me to put across this morning is how important in the name of Jesus is. Get in the name, stay in the name, utilize the name for the glory of God. And by operating in the name of Jesus and doing the works in His name, people see this. And it brings attention to Father God. We're not to be drawing attention to ourselves. We're not to be putting posters out telling what our great anointing is. We're to be promoting the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. And we do it not so much as, I'm not talking about advertisement, I'm talking about demonstration. The kingdom of God is, says, not in word but in power. And so we take power wherever we go when we're operating in the name of Jesus. I thank God for the baby that was born to grow as a man to identify with me. That's what it was all about. Identifying with humanity so He could be the sacrifice for humanity. And He's done it. And if you read the Revelation 1:18, he says, I have, King James Version says keys, but really what he's saying is, I have authority over death and hell. Anybody that believes in me can pass from death to life. Anybody that believes in me can be delivered from a life of torment. But it's all in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's the message. In the name of Jesus may be the most important phrase you'll ever know, because inherent in that is the power of heaven itself. The kingdom of God is God's vested all this power and authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He's called the King of all kings. You understand? That means every other king is subservient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if the kings are, then surely I am. So, He's the important one. So, whatever we do,
in word or deed. Let's do it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.